Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to come together. Father, we don't take it lightly, God. We thank you that we can assemble ourselves together. Father, we're grateful for your mercy over our lives. We're grateful for your healing power. Lord, that we don't have to fear, that we can walk in the light. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. Lord, that you protect us, that you're our fortress. You're our God in whom we trust. Father, we declare it this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over our families. We just thank you that we have the power and authority to resist the enemy, and he must flee. Father, we thank you that there'll be no flu here in this house. Father, we thank you that you'll watch over us. Lord, there'll be no coronavirus in this house in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can stand against it and we can resist it. We thank you, Father God, for the victory that you provide. Father, as we've come this morning, we thank you that your presence is here. You said where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit to move among us this morning and minister to us. Father, you have all the answers that we need. Lord, you know every heart. You know every person. You know exactly what they need to hear this morning. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak and minister to each person this morning. And we thank you that we'll go out of here changed, encouraged, lifted up, and inspired. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to be talking this morning. Again, we're still speaking about the vision of our church, that we are a people who reach out. We're a people who grow spiritually and a people who love God and love others. And today I want to continue along the line of loving God. The aspect of love, to love God and to love others. Jesus was asked once by a Pharisee, what is the greatest commandment? And in the Old Testament, there were 613 commandments in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. And he said, out of all those laws, out of all those things, which include the Ten Commandments, certainly, but out of all the commandments, which is the greatest? And we find the response of Jesus in Matthew 22. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Out of all the laws that are recorded in the Word of God, this is the most important. The most important. Jesus says, loving God is the most important out of all of God's commands. Sometimes as people, we tend to focus on the do's and the don'ts. Human nature likes to have parameters and borders. So we like to know the do's and don'ts. But religion has taught us that if you want to please God, you have to do these things and not these things. Even in our own circles, we have today, you know, we have, well, you need to believe, you need to have faith, you need to have this, you need to have that, you need to walk according to the word. Well, those things certainly are true. They certainly are true, but that they don't precede loving God. Loving God is always first. Before the principles of faith, before the principles of prayer, before water baptism, before all these other things, loving God is first. Everything that we know in Christianity flows from loving Him. He has written in His Word and clearly defined what love is. 1 Corinthians 13 talks in great detail what love is. He has shown us examples of love in the earth through good relationships. He has made His message of love for us very clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sacrificed His Son on a cross because He loves us, because He cares about us. God wants you to know how much He loves you. When you understand it and when you know it, it will make a tremendous impact in your life. Not just words, well, God loves you, God loves you. Not just words that we hear, but an understanding of His love, a comprehension of His love. I believe that's why the enemy works overtime to hide the truth of God's love from you. He will try to obscure your vision so that you will not see how much God loves you or how much you are truly loved by God. He comes to deceive you. Many times when people are going through a hard time, many times they'll turn towards God and they'll say, God, why don't you care? Don't you care? We see the illustration of the disciples of Jesus when they were crossing the lake. And remember, a storm came up and the water started splashing into the boat. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the front of the boat. And they woke him up and they said, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? What are they? They're questioning his love. Certainly he cared. He stood up and spoke to the wind and the waves. And they ceased, right? But when we hear about God's love, you know, we might think, when I talk about the love of God, you might immediately think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We all know that verse, and we could probably quote it, and we could probably write it down, but sometimes it can lose its meaning to us. God is love. God is love. That he so loved the world, he gave. I'm here to remind you this morning that God loves you. God loves you personally. Maybe you're here today and you think, well, that's nothing new. Maybe hearing about God's love is something that you know. It's old news. It might sound contrite or overspoken. And maybe God's love doesn't seem real to you. Well, you can hear and know all about it, but if you never experience it for yourself, it won't be real to you. If you never open your heart to receive the love that comes from God, you won't know his love. People like this don't realize that God has sought you out. God has sought you out. God has looked for you. He's longed to be with you. He's knocked at your door, searched you out, longing, desiring to have a real relationship with you, have a real relationship with people. This is the kind of description the Bible paints regarding the love of God. How he has searched for you, how he has longed for you, how he has looked for you and desires to help you. There's a great verse here in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. It says, in a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Oh, how God loves us. God loves us. If you think back to a time in your own life, before you knew God, what was your life like? Were you in that dry, barren place? Well, the Bible says God was looking for you. God went out of his way to save you. God went out of his way to protect you and to help you. God loves you and he cares about you. 1 John 4:9 says, in this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God demonstrates the lengths of his love, the lengths that he would go to search us out, to save us. He did this by sending his beloved Son. What more could he give? What more could he give? Luke tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to look for you, came to seek you out, to save you. He cares about you. He cares about your life. He cares about what you feel, what you think. The things that are important to you are important to him. He loves you. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. The Bible says that God delights in showing us mercy. He is tender with us, able to forgive, able to heal, able to lift off the weights of sin and guilt and shame. God loves us. He pours his mercy upon us. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful? That's part of His love. We take that for granted, that we can walk around feeling free, feeling free of the guilt of shame and all those things. God did that for us because He loves us, because He loves us. But we have so much to be thankful for. Psalm 48, verse 9 says, "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." 1 Corinthians tells us that His love never fails. God's love never fails. Other things might fail, but His love will never fail. Never fail. His love is unfailing. Means it never fails. It never has, and it never will. Psalm 66, verse 20. "Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me." God said that He would never withhold His love from you. God has never withheld His love. He is always listening to your prayers. What a good God we serve. Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." There's a verse for today. He will quiet you with His love. The other day we had the TV on and we were kind of doing stuff around the house and we weren't really watching it. It was just kind of on for noise. And what we were watching ended and then the news came on and it was just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It just seems like it's an endless noise. A scripture here. He'll quiet you with with His love. He'll bring peace to your heart when all the world is going crazy, when they're all fighting at Wegmans, when there's nothing to order, nothing to buy. People are hunkered down in their houses and terrified that they're going to catch some kind of sickness. He'll quiet you. He'll quiet you with His love. Boy, we just need to get a hold of that. God's love brings that peace that passes all understanding. You don't have to be running around like everybody else. You don't have to be going crazy like the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't be. You have nothing to fear. You have the greater one on the inside. He's well able to protect you and provide for you and to take care of your family. But you have to abide in Him. You have to trust Him. You have to spend time in His presence. And remind yourself of scriptures just as this. He will quiet me with His love. He will quiet me with His love. You know, again, many people think they know His love. And for some, it's just words. There's nothing more wonderful than experiencing the love of God. I believe that every person needs to have that kind of an encounter with God. When you have that kind of an encounter, when you spend time in His presence, it changes you. It strips off that fear. It strips off that worry. It strips off that anxiety. It strips off all that pressure. And you can just enjoy His presence. Spiritual things often parallel natural things. Just like in a natural relationship between a man and a woman, it's easy to see the process of love. Man and a woman, they see interest in one another, and there's a mutual relationship. There's a commitment to one another. You know, without a commitment, there's no real love established. And that commitment comes from desire, not obligation. I remember when I was dating my wife, no one had to tell me to date her. I didn't have to date her out of obligation. I wanted to be with her. I wanted to talk to her. We'd stay up late talking on the phone, and we would go out and we would spend time together. And it wasn't an obligation. It was out of desire. The same is true with God. We don't serve God out of obligation. Well, we got to read our Bible today. Glad that's done. No, we should have a desire, a longing, a desire to be with Him, to be in His presence, to be near Him, to worship Him, to sense His presence, to feel His love in our life. We want that in us. You know, many people, there are lots of religions today. People commit to Christ and begin to do good things. They do good things out of obligation. This is not what we refer to a love relationship. You want to be smitten with love. I remember when we were dating, I just wanted to be where she was. You know, I was enamored. I wanted to be wherever she was. No one had to tell me to rearrange my schedule to be with her. I wanted to be with her. That's what commitment is. Anyone can be committed, but it's another story to be committed and smitten with love. There's a wonderful love story in the Bible. Perhaps you know it. It's Jacob and Rachel. Jacob made a deal with Rachel's father, Laban, to work 7 years for her hand in marriage. There's a verse in Genesis 29, it says, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because he loved her." Because of the love that he had for her. It seemed like just a few days. That's what love does. When you think about someone that you love, maybe even a sister or a brother or a niece or a nephew or a grandchild or a parent and child, you don't watch the clock. Oh, I got to spend an hour with you. Tick tock, tick tock. We're almost done. No, you love spending time with them. You cherish the time that you get with them. You're thankful, you're grateful. You honor that time and you make the best of that time because you love them. Well, the same is with God. When you get to spend time with Him, you should come in and anticipate an experience with Him. That you come in and you're grateful, thankful, that your heart is full of thanksgiving and joy, and you're so grateful. And it seems like that hour or that little time that you have passes like moments, just like Jacob here. We see the early church. They were so zealous for God, so hungry for God. Over in Acts 19, it says, "Also many of them who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." Again, they were not following some rule of a religious organization that told them to do this. They realized that these things were not pleasing to the Lord, and they willingly came and they got rid of them because they love God so much. They didn't care what it cost. They didn't care what the value was. They just burned it in the sight of everyone. Their love for God became greater than their love for other things like magic or power. Being in love will affect the way you live. It affects the way you spend your time, you spend your money, what you do with your life. Because you are so in love. My wife used to drive across, well, she wasn't my wife then, but she used to drive across town, and she'd put a note on my windshield when I was working at a bank. And I would get out of work and I'd see that, and it just made my day. But love will make you do those things, makes you drive across town to do those things. You probably have your own stories. Love makes you do all kinds of things. Bake cookies and show different ways that you love them. Send flowers. Do all kinds of things. Love makes you do those things. It's because how you feel towards the other person. You just want to please them. You want to be around them. You want to express how much they mean to you. Again, shouldn't that translate to our Heavenly Father? Oh, it should, because these are examples of how much He's loved us. He gave the most precious thing that He had. And He didn't go across town. He went from heaven to earth. And He gave His most costly gift, the most precious thing that He could possibly think of. He gave to you and I to communicate to you how much you mean to Him, how valuable you are to Him, how much He loves you. I'll give you my Son. I'll give you my Son. Oh, how I love you. 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 Not only did He say it, but He showed it. Here's my Son. My only Son. The Son who I love. The Son who means everything to me. I give Him to you so that you will know how much I love you. Oh, how He loves us. This is the kind of love that God is looking for. He loves you so much. That's why Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And really, your love is the only thing you have to offer. He wants that commitment of your heart, your life. That's all we have to offer Him. Are you in love with God? Or are you obligated? There's a big difference. Are you in love with God? Or are you obligated? When you go to His Word, do you read it just to get through it? Or do you read it to find out more about Him? Do you look at the Scriptures and say, "Lord, show me something about Yourself"? Or do you just get through your chapters so that you can check off your list of things to do today? Don't let your love relationship for God move over to your things to do or a business relationship with God. "Well, I know that if I want my prayers answered, I have to do this and this." Don't just do business with God. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him. Love Him. One of the easiest ways to determine whether you are in love with Him or obligated is to look and see what your life is seeking. What is your life seeking? What are you captivated with in life? What is captivating your thought life? What is it that you think about all the time? What is it that you draw yourself to? Is it money? Is it power, fame, status, reputation, entertainment? Self? Other people? Stuff? None of that stuff, none of those things will ever fulfill you like God's love can. Those things all, no matter what they are, all those things will leave you wanting for something more. It's only God's love that satisfies. You know, whether I mentioned whatever those things are, or whether I mentioned it or not, or you have something else, if it's not God, you're not going to be satisfied. To me, the sad part is that so many people don't know enough about God that He wants to bless them with all those things, that, you know, they miss out. All those things should be an overflow. Remember Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's nothing wrong with having some nice things in your life, things you enjoy, things that you, hobbies and homes and money, and nothing wrong with having those things, but they can't take the place of God. God has to be first. He has to be first. Has to be. And we don't come to God just to appease him. We come to him because we love him. I remember when I first got saved, I was a kid, and we would always sing the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. You know that tune? Oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, we need to get back to that sometimes. Get back to that kind of love. Oh, how I love Jesus. We need to love him that way. When I first got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about standing in faith. I didn't know anything about the Old Testament and the New Testament. All I knew was I loved him. I loved him. Oh, how I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. We need to get back to that. Spending time with him. Turn the TV off, forget about the coronavirus for a while, and spend time with him. Recharge, re-energize, get filled up with him. Allow him to flood your heart and mind. Allow him to inundate your thought life. Allow him to bathe you with his love instead of all that other garbage. Religion has taught us in order to have God, you'll have to give up any other desires or only have God. But you know, that's not the heart of God. God wants to be first. He doesn't mind you having other things, but he wants to be first. He wants to be first. He wants to bless your life. Notice what Hebrews 11:6 says. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder for what? For those who seek him. What's the important part of that verse? Seeking him. Seeking him. Seeking him. Seeking him. We don't seek him to get stuff, but we know that it's a byproduct of seeking him. We seek him because we love him. We love him. What will God reward you with? Well, he'll reward you with good things, things that you desire. He knows what you like. He knows how to bless you. He knows how to increase you. Remember Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Right? There is nothing more important in the entire world than to love God. What does 1 Corinthians say? You can know everything about the Bible. You can have faith that moves mountains. You can fathom all the mysteries of God. But if you have not love, you have nothing. You have nothing. You can build yourself an empire. You can have all the money in the world. You can go on the best vacations, drive the nicest car, live in the biggest house. But if you have not love, you have nothing. And I'm talking about the love for God. Love for God. There's one more passage I want to give you today. It's found in Revelations, the second chapter. You know, here the Holy Spirit spoke to John, the apostle, concerning the seven churches listed here in the book of Revelation. And these were actual churches in Asia Minor. He speaks regarding each of these churches. Revelations 2:4 says, Yet I hold this against you. This is speaking to the church at Ephesus. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. If you read this in context, it talks about how the church at Ephesus, Bible historians tell us, it was a mega church. It was a mega church. There was over 25,000 people there. I had the opportunity to stand in the amphitheater where the church met there in Asia Minor. a tremendous church. And the who's who of Christianity were there. John the Apostle had moved to Ephesus, and he brought with him Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember at the cross, Jesus said he gave Mary to John to take care of. Well, they relocated to Ephesus. The Apostle Paul preached there. Aquila and Priscilla were there. There were so many people that are listed in the Bible that were there at the church of Ephesus. It was the place to be. And the Bible describes here in Revelations that they had excellent doctrine. They had tremendous ministries. There was prominent members. There was wealth, etc., etc. But out of all these things that God could have said to the church of Ephesus, he said this: they had forgotten to love God. They had forgotten to love God. They were so good at ministry. They were doing the work of the ministry, but they had forgotten to love God. If your works precede your love, then that's what it is. It's works. But if your love precedes your works, then it's the driving force. It's the reason for your service. Then it's fruit. Your first love, well, what is it? Well, when I first got saved, I read my Bible and I prayed and I worshiped and I went to church. Well, those are good things. If I just do those things again, then it becomes works. It's more than that. It's the why you went to church. It's the why you read your Bible. It's the why you did those things in the ministry. It's loving God. I go to church because I love God, not because I want to look spiritual. I read my Bible because I love God, not because I want to check off my list. It's loving Him. It's loving Him. Don't leave your first love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love Him. Love Him. Make that your goal. What keeps us from experiencing this kind of love? What keeps us from His love? Well, lots of things. Anger, guilt, sin, shame, not believing that you're lovable, not believing that you're worthy. All these lies of the enemy, not thinking that he really loves you. These are all lies of the enemy to keep you from receiving God's powerful love in your life. And if you're holding on to some of those things this morning, it's time to let them go. Let go of the guilt. Let go of the shame. Let go of the unworthiness. Let go of the unlovableness that you think your life is. And open your heart and receive the love that can only come from Him. We need to know that God loves us. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment and think about your own life for a moment. You know, I think that we've all had these seasons in our life where we've gone through hard times, and you may feel like you're at the end of your rope. Maybe it's a sense of desperation or you're in a desperate need of God's mercy. Maybe you just feel dry and God seems distant to you. You haven't sensed God's love towards you. In any of these things, you need a fresh touch from God. And you can get that this morning. You can receive it this morning. You need God's love to come into your heart again. And if you'll ask Him, He will. Open your heart to Him and allow Him to flood every aspect of your life, every aspect of your heart. Choose to love God in your heart and make it the focus of your heart. Let your life be about seeking Him. I believe every day we need to renew our commitment to follow after Him. Allow His love to penetrate our hearts. Let Him heal areas of your hearts that are broken, areas that are damaged. Let that love sweep in and replenish those dry places. Let the dark places, the places where you feel all alone, allow His love to flood in those areas and renew you. Let His love quiet you. I love that scripture. Let his love quiet you. Let's just take a moment to pray this morning. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. Lord, you've spelled it out in your word. You love us. You've shown us by giving us your Son. Lord, what more can you say? What more can you do to express your love for us? Today we open our hearts afresh and anew to your love this morning. We choose to let go of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, thoughts that were not lovable, thoughts that were not worthy, guilt and shame, we let those things go. We ask that your blood, Jesus, would wash over those things, that we would receive your forgiveness in any area of our life, and we open our hearts to the love of God. Oh, that we would experience your love in a new way today. Father, I pray that you'd fill every heart this morning, every person, to be filled to overflowing with your love, oh God, your anointing, your power to come upon them right now. Lord, that you would baptize them in your love, that they would sense the presence of God in their life this morning. Lord, that they would be overwhelmed in your presence. And Lord, that you'd renew their love. Lord, that they would once again stir that love for you, God, that they'd be reminded of the joy of their salvation, that they'd be open to hearing the truth that you love them. You love them with an unending love. Your love never fails, never fails. Oh, I thank you that you'll overwhelm them this morning. Overwhelm them this morning. Overwhelm them this morning. Oh, we just cut off every hindrance, every noise, everything that would be around us. We cut it off and we focus in on the love of God this morning. We thank you for this great love in our life. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross. We thank you that you paid the price. Oh, you willingly went for me. Father, you gave your Son. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you've expressed your love to me in such a great way. Thank you for your love. I am loved by you. I am loved by God. Let's just say that together. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I receive your love today. I just want to encourage you this week to spend some time in his presence. Take some time out to worship. Take some time out to pray. Get alone with him. Lift up your hands and worship God with your whole heart. Love him. Love him. Love him. Turn the noise off. Turn the media off and just spend time worshiping him. It'll change you. It'll transform you. Amen.